Count Basie with Blues in C from his album Mostly Blues and Some Others, featuring the Count, of course, on piano, Snooky Young on trumpet, Eddie Lockjaw Davis on tenor sax, and Roy McCurdy on drums. This is Count Basie's last album before he died in 1984 at the age of 79. This is Lee Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Monday, March the 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day to those who are celebrating. Today I want to talk about a subject that essentially we will come to time and again as an ongoing series, and it concerns education, specifically the rise of the charter schools throughout the nation, but also, and perhaps more importantly, the fate of public schools. What is going on? The reason I raise this is that it kind of drove the point home to me on March the 4th when Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, flanked by an array of elected officials who, of course, stood behind him because they knew the cameras were on, and they were all in a joyous mood despite the fact that it was very cold, looking out on a sea of about 11,000 school children, parents, and teachers who filled the plaza outside of the state capitol, Cuomo assured them in the style of a political rally that they had a friend in Albany, he said. He'll vigorously defend charter schools against New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's threats to limit them. Today, I want to just lay some general ground, the foundation of our continuing discussion on charter schools. And I want to take a look at that particular event as a starting point because it crystallized a lot about this movement and about the crisis of education all around the country. Now, what was particularly telling about this demonstration, and I always remind you that in a story, you have to pay attention to the environment of the story. Well, the environment of the story on that day, March the 4th, was that this sea of citizens who are there for charter schools and the children were mostly children from the charter schools, and we will get to this discussion, brought by bus into Albany, and almost all of them were African American and Latino children. There were just one or two faces here and there of parents of children, of white parents of children in schools at this charter school event. And it spoke to what the reality is for most of the cities where you have these charter schools rising in accordance with a simultaneous decline and shutting down of public schools. It is not an exaggeration to say that the educational system of the United States is politically authorized and politically endorsed educational apartheid. I want to share with you now the rally. And this is Governor Cuomo addressing the massive crowd spread before him in the plaza. And he's sounding very much as the champion of education. Here is Andrew Cuomo speaking.
You look look so beautiful to me. You look so beautiful. They say it's cold out here, but I don't feel cold. I feel hot. I feel fired up. We are going to save charter schools, and you're making it happen by being here today. You are here 11,000 strong. You are braving the cold to stand up for your rights, and Senator Skelos is exactly right. This is the most important civic lesson you will learn, because this is democracy, and this is how you make your voice heard. And we are here today to tell you that we stand with you. You are not alone. We will save charter schools. You know, Albany is an industry town, and the industry is government and the government programs, and education is treated like an industry. But what you're saying today is it's not an industry, and we have to change that culture, because education is not about the districts and not about the pensions and not about the unions and not about the lobbyists and not about the PR firms. Education is about the students, and the students come first. We know that too many public schools are failing. Over 200 failing schools, 6% grade level for reading, 5% grade level for math. We need new ideas. Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. The education industry has said the same thing for decades. More money, more money, more money, and it'll change. We spend more money per pupil than any state in the nation. We're number 32 in results. It's not just about putting more money in the public school system. It's trying something new, and that's what charter schools are all about. Now, not every charter school has been great, but overall, they've been a great success. Success Academy in the South Bronx. The third best results in the state. Give yourselves a round of applause. That's why 50,000 parents are on the waiting list. And our point today is parents deserve a choice. I am committed to ensuring charter schools have the financial capacity, the physical space, and the government's support to thrive and to grow. And with all we do here, my friends, education is the top priority for two simple reasons. Number one, every instinct in our body as human beings, as parents and citizens, says, leave this place a better place for our children and take care of our children. And there's nothing more important for our children than their education. And that's why we will not compromise. And education is what makes the American dream a reality. Education system says you can come here from anywhere on the globe. And we don't care who you are. We don't care the color of your skin. We don't care how much money you have in your pocket. Through a public education system, you can become anything you want. And that's why we will make that dream a reality. And you being here today is a tremendous step in the right direction. Thank you, and God bless you.
Well, that sounds very much like a political rally, does it not? And, of course, he talked to the 11,000 students, overwhelmingly, as I said, I couldn't see, for all of the pictures I looked through and all of the coverage I looked through, there were very few, if any, white children in this crowd. All of the children, as it turned out, were brought by bus, a very significant thing, busing them in, referring to the historical association there, brought into Albany on that day by the owner of Success Academy Charter Schools. Her name is Eva Moskowitz, and she owns 22 charter schools in the city of New York. We'll get to that in a minute. But what I want to share with you now is the neoliberal treatment of this event. It received that treatment, and it became typical of the kind of media television treatment that Ms. Moskowitz got. She was the guest on MSNBC's morning show. And you would hear some, I want you to listen to the kind of language associated with this, and, you know, the fawning language about these poor children and what she's doing, and what how necessary these things are, you know. I just want you to listen to it. Here we go. MSNBC, the day after the rally, the guest is Eva Moskowitz, owner of 22 charter schools in New York City.
Issue this important to the most disadvantaged kids in New York City.
It was really amazing to be there to see him speak so passionately, and we did feel that we were alone. We have a mayor in the city of New York who says he's a progressive on the one hand, but wants to deny poor kids in Harlem an opportunity, a shot at life, and so it was.
What about the great irony that this is a guy in Mika? Is a big supporter of Bill de Blasio's idea of pre-K. What he's talking about doing for kids, poor kids,
would be
and pre-K.
Pre-K. And we're for pre-K.
Right, of course.
But what happens after they're four?
Why do you stop supporting the most disadvantaged kids at four? What good does it do if you do that till they're four and then shut school choices to their parents?
I mean, look, this is the highest. Bill de Blasio wants to shut down the highest performing school in the state of New York, in math, in fifth grade.
Say that again. Say that again.
The highest performing
school,
it's Harlem Central. Mm. We've had these kids since kindergarten. They're amazing children. I was with them yesterday. He has announced that that school is closing down.
Okay, I want to underline this again. Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, wants to shut down the highest performing school when it comes to math for, what, fifth graders?
Fifth graders, correct.
That's
and it's
stunning.
Not that he wants to. He did. He announced Thursday afternoon that those kids would be educationally homeless.
And Mike, this is, de Blasio said this in the campaign, talking about Ms. Moskowitz. Yeah, she has to stop being tolerated, enabled, supported. So this is not about the kids. This is a personal vindictive attack. So the highest performing school in the state of New York in fifth grade math, and it's in Harlem, is being shut down.
Well, two questions. A, is it being shut down, or is it the mayor saying you've got to get out of the city building that it's in because you're not paying rent?
Yeah, no one should say
that. That's one question. The second question is, what is the root of this seemingly personal animosity between you and the mayor? Or do you know?
I mean, look, he is evicting us in New York City, and in fact, across the state from Buffalo to the South Bronx. Facilities is the name of the game. You cannot educate children if you do not have a building. And we are a public school, and we think we have a right to either be in a building or get facilities funding, which we do not get. In terms of your second question, I can't really answer it. You know, I believe that we should teach tolerance. So for a mayoral candidate to say that someone shouldn't be tolerated is a bit bizarre. But look, his team is kind of the working families, the teachers union, ACORN, and these are the policies, the anti-charter policies that have been pushed for the last decade or so. When we opened our first school in Harlem on 118th Street, the teachers union opposed that. They have sued us now 18 times to stop us from opening. You would think in a city and a state and the nation that has an educational crisis of monumental proportions, we would welcome alternatives that have high performance. But instead, a so-called progressive mayor, and make no mistake, it is not progressive to disenfranchise poor minority kids who want a shot at the American dream.
Well, and the bigger question is, why do you evict from the school the highest performing students in fifth grade? If it's working, build on that.
In addition to that, the other point is, the school is evicted, the kids are evicted. What usage is the building put to? Does it remain empty? More likely than not.
And by the way, Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, a lot of people have spent billions of dollars trying to crack the code, trying to figure out how you help the most disadvantaged students of color and of all colors. How do you help them get a better education? And we've seen failure after failure after failure after failure. So when you have the highest performing fifth grade class in math, is evicting them from a building when it's working really the solution because of personal animosity? This is outrageous. And I will go for, I'll say something else. It's immoral. It's immoral. And anybody that's been up to Harlem and has seen what's happened up there with schools and some of the hope that some of these kids and families are getting would agree with me. Willie,
Well, you can tell, you know, it's just dripping with condescension, racial condescension. And the tone of the discussion, however, is not limited to New York City. This is the general view of what charter schools can do and why the people, especially of they call them now urban centers, the people of urban centers should be so happy that their children can, as Cuomo put it, they can pursue the American dream, and you can be all you want to be, and all of this nonsense, which is just insulting to anybody with a brain. New York City, as it turns out, is just behind Chicago and Texas in terms of racial resegregation of schools. Imagine that. That's the dubious distinction that New York has. It is the third city behind Chicago and Dallas in terms of racial resegregation of schools. And what they should have been discussing on air is, was it right, was it ethical and moral for a person who essentially is an entrepreneur? By the way, her company got started by hedge fund money, and she earns $475,000 a year. Was it the right thing to use these black children and Latino children, pile them up in buses, drag them out of their school day, to take them up so that they can be visual props for her political agenda to open more schools? Was that the right thing to do? And that is the kind of contempt that they have, people like Moskowitz and others have, in the charter school industry, which is what it is, it's an industry, exploiting this notion that they are saviors for the black children who basically would be left to fate. And nothing good would happen to them were it not for the availability of charter schools. It's a business. It's a booming business. And none other than the President of the United States, Barack Obama, his administration is overseeing a slaughter across this country in education and a resegregation of schools. It is a betrayal of the worst kind, because everybody, no matter where they sit on this issue, they all agree that they can sacrifice children, black and Latino kids mostly, almost overwhelmingly black and Latino kids, they can sacrifice them while they work this intellectually out. They can, these kids are expendable. And you will notice we do not hear from the black leadership or the Latino leadership about charter schools, except that they like them. All the people behind Andrew Cuomo on that podium talking as if he's running for president or running for God, they stood there like statues, applauding a man whose state is third highest in the nation of racial segregation in public schools. Why is this a crisis? It didn't just become a crisis today. But when we have a president whose own appointee, a Secretary of Education, Anna Duncan, a fellow basketball player from Chicago, that basically is what his credentials are. You have a Secretary of Education who only has a bachelor's degree, but he is politically connected, so he gets the job. The Secretary of Education needs an education, but he has a job of determining policy for the whole nation. And the policy that he has begun to implement is shut down the public schools, crank up the charter schools. In his sights are 5,000 schools, all of them in black and Latino communities across the nation. In the last 10 years alone, New York City shut down 160 schools. And Mayor Bloomberg wants to take the former mayor of the city of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, would take credit for the fact that he opened up new schools and shut down a whole bunch of them. But don't worry about that. He opened up a bunch of others. And they're all playing games with the educational futures of black children and Latino children. And nobody has punished these people for this. Nobody has said to them, you will not do this to our children. The children are unprotected. And people think it's all about, look, you know, we just give them a new building and we, you know, we change the address from here to there and, we fix up whatever it is we need to fix up, do a fast fix, and then everything would be all right. We are talking about the education of children, and especially that segment of children that historically have been marginalized and their neighborhoods marginalized and the institutions serving their neighborhoods marginalized. It is a crisis. It's beyond crisis, actually. It is a meltdown. The educational system in America, the public educational system especially, is in meltdown. Millions of children are hostages to people who are playing games with their lives and their futures. They think, well, we'll see how it all works out. And while mistakes are being made, it's just a mistake. These are just administrative issues, but they see it as administrative issues, theoretical issues. They do not care that they have the lives of children in their hands. So people have to get organized about this. This is a huge clarion call, and people get really, really tied into some grassroots movement or the other to advocate for these children because they are completely defenseless. They've been left to the whims of whatever political agenda is in charge on any given day. Here's a governor standing, like he's the king of kings. I'm here to tell you charter schools are here to stay. I'm here to tell you I'm with charter schools and whatnot. But what actually are the facts about the performance of charter schools? And it's really, to be very honest, the issue isn't, in a sense, it isn't even about charter schools. It is about this idea of how it is and how it has been the case that the education of Black, Latino children essentially is a theoretical game that they all play. There is no sense of urgency to fix things. There's no sense about what education ought to be and why it is that it is important to be correct, to spend the time and effort and energy in getting this thing right for generations now. The city's schools all across the nation have been underserving the community. Is it any wonder why it is that many young people today and adults today are unemployable? When you have, for example, in the city of New York, according to the New School for Public Education, they put out a recent study. It says 80% of people coming into New York City's colleges, 80% require remedial courses in math, in English, in writing, 80%. And you're trying to tell people that you have a good educational system? And what does the study show? It shows what everybody has known for decades. The same study says only 12.5% of Black students and 15% of Latino students would be considered college ready. Now, you would never think that from a governor standing up there talking about how much he's going to stand for a variety of educational choices, when we are clear that the public school system is an utter disgrace. It's a failure. And that's the case all across the country. But they're not particularly concerned about fixing that, because They know the statistics. The New York City public school system, like the school systems in all these major cities, are literally dumbing down these young children, assassinating their minds, short-circuiting their futures on purpose. Because it puts a whole segment of competition out of circulation. It gives the advantage to the system the way it was designed. It starts off with the premise that these children not only can't learn, they just shouldn't learn. And people are in office, and they're in the city council, and in the state legislature, and in Congress, and their children are being assassinated. And their parents continue to vote for the Democratic Party. They're loyal to the Democratic Party. Their children are being assassinated in the schools. And he gets a great soundbite out of that. He gets great coverage out of that. And the woman who runs 22 schools. Now you tell me if that shouldn't sound an alarm to you or to any reasonable person. And all of these schools are feeding on black children, feeding on them. The poor parents, I don't blame the parents, because they're just happy to have some kind of school to send their kids to, even though, of course, the statistics show there's no great advantage here. The task really is to correct the issues, the long-standing issues in public schools. Everybody knows that. But they won't do it. So we have Barack Obama at the federal level. His education secretary is going to close 5,000 schools. This is the school closingest, if I can use that word, the school closingest president this nation has ever had. And he says he's so pro-education. On the same day that Mrs. Obama went to Chicago to attend the funeral of a young woman, a young girl in high school who was shot. And she went to Chicago to signal that something ought to be done about gun violence. And on the same day that she arrived there, the mayor of Chicago cut a check for in excess of $1 million to rent a warehouse to store the contents of 50 schools that he was going to close. What is the answer according to Mrs. Obama? The answer to everything, gun violence and educational options, is we need to have basketball. We need to have a place where these young people can release their energy and so forth. The neoliberal, contemptuous garbage that we've heard for a long time. And they say this with a straight face. So the question I ask, what are the people doing? Who is championing the rights of these children? Who is going to send a message that this is not going to continue? The educational system has got to work. And people have to be held accountable. Closing schools is not the solution. Opening little satellite schools in maintain the same status quo. That's not the solution. That's just shuffling the chairs on the decks of the deck of the Titanic. In this crisis that clearly affects, disproportionately affects children of color across the country, the system, the policymakers are still entrenched in segregation because you do not find Latinos, you do not find African Americans, you do not find Native Americans sitting at the table whose expertise is readily available, who are culturally sensitive, and who academically are qualified and capable of advancing workable solutions. They're not there. Even in this situation that disproportionately affects people of color, the people making the decisions and the people who place themselves in advocacy positions of influence are white. So it's a system that is accounting for a lot of entrepreneurship. You could make money, open up a school, and you can decide whether you want to be non-profit or for-profit. In the case of Moskowitz, you get a couple of your hedge fund buddies to put up a couple of $1 million. And your good schools, the ones that these Harlem kids that keep talking about Harlem, we know what you're talking about. We know what you're talking about. The time has come simply to declare war. If these children are not worth fighting for, then I say then we should not even bother. Nobody should even live. If you're not willing to fight for your children, if you're not willing to confront a system that is fully entrenched in denying your children a good shot at a quality education, then you don't deserve, you really don't deserve to be on the planet. If any legislator could countenance this and can't show a consistent record of resistance against these policies and open criticism of the governor, open criticism of the charter school movement, open criticism of the public school system, then you really deserve what you get. So I am pleading that we begin to take a look at this. This is a war that has been declared. It has been declared. And we disillusion ourselves when we think that, well, we have an allegedly black president and we have supposed liberals in the city and at the state level, and they'll do the right thing. You can't trust that. We see that you simply cannot trust these people because they adopt the same tired, worn-out, just archaic principles of what they call education. A little island like Barbados, and 97% of Barbadians could read, and 97% of them are ready and at any time can take on a job and be competent at it. A little island like that. New York City, for example, its education budget is larger than the gross domestic budget, gross domestic product, I should say, of many nations, and still can't get the job done. It means, therefore, that there is wholesale incompetence or there is a dedication to delivering inferior education. Either way, it should not be tolerated. But it is really annoying, and it gets me angry when I see things like this happening before your eyes. You trot out these children, 11,000 of them, You put them in buses. You don't care that they're standing in the cold. You don't care anything. You put your yellow T-shirts on them, and they're out there in the cold. And their parents are waving, and you bring them up, and everybody's making noise, and it looks like something that was really spontaneous, but it was planned, because Ms. Moskowitz, who used to be in the city council, is a very ambitious person and loves the idea of making money. And more than that, she has found a niche, because these charter schools are not accountable to the city school system or to any community parents organization. They do their own thing. They make their own rules. They're not even unionized. But they feed on Black and Latino children. And that's why Ms. Moskowitz's outfit spent in excess of $900,000. Supposedly, this is outreach. That's the new word for lobbying. And it is all about setting up these schools in Black neighborhoods. Because, you know, the funny thing is, poor people make a lot of people rich. Their children make a lot of people rich. When are we as a community going to stop this vicious cycle? When is it going to end? I bet you that if tomorrow, you don't need 10,000 people, if tomorrow 100 people get really serious about this and decide they will not have their children consumed by a predatory system like this that means them no good, that has no high expectations for them, that is culturally insensitive to them, that will not prepare them to take their rightful place in a so-called democratic society, because they go in with the assumption that they are less than, and therefore they ought to be grateful for whatever is shoveled at them. If you have 100 serious people who let it be known that they are warriors, they are champions, and they're coming out to fight for their kids, and that means they are going to punish the dickens out of the Democratic Party. Punish it like you've never punished it before. Walk away from it. Dump it. Kill it. Take advantage of that idea. Let the Democratic Party grind it into dust because of what it is doing to these children. Andrew Cuomo would never have been governor of the state of New York had it not been for the Black vote. His father, Mario, would not have been governor of New York State had it not been for the Black vote, and we could not find a more lethal political leader to the Black people of the state of New York than Mario Cuomo. Similarly, I think it is hereditary, because Andrew Cuomo is no better. Black people want results. He gives them symbolism. But this, my friends, is a fight worth fighting. This is a fight worth fighting, because it is all over the country. And I spoke with you earlier last year about the significance of the year 2043, when this nation would have switched demographics. Demographically, it will be a majority non-white nation. Leading up to that date, you will see how things are being reorganized. We see the resegregation of schools. We see the resegregation of neighborhoods. We see the unemployment rates just sky high among certain populations. We see the inequality and misery index. We see the poverty rates. We see in every single category of disadvantage, the same ethnic groups are at the bottom of the ladder. That is not accidental. And it will pick up at a fever pitch the closer we get to that date, because the resources will be said and people will act on it. The resources are not for everyone. The resources are for specific groups of people. This nation was founded as an apartheid nation. We have an apartheid educational system, never mind Brown versus Board of Education. Never mind the Supreme Court. Never mind the intermittent policies that are made that give you a glimmer of hope. The intention is to create a permanent underclass. They are to have few options but to be of service to the upper class. That's it. That's it. So that brings me to the end of that priming. I'm pumping you up for these sessions that we will have, where we see what the system is doing and how it is successful at resisting change across the board. And we have to come to the aid of these children. What is in store for them is so horrible. It is so final. It is so deadly. And it's being done with all this, you know, this neoliberal garbage, that the tone of, well, look, the school in Harlem, as if that's supposed to be surprising, that there's a school doing great things in Harlem. Not one person on that panel bothered to ask Ms. Moskowitz, by the way, you think it was the right thing to take those children up there in the cold to be props for your private contract? You really think that was a good thing to do? Nobody ever questioned her about anything. Anyway, so we'll come back to the subject. What I want to talk to you about now is of equal importance, and that is the support of PRN. PRN is a true alternative to what's available in the way of information. And although Gary had been behind me for quite a while to come on board, I was so disillusioned. I was so fed up with the so-called alternative media. The conduct within was just so putrid. I didn't want any part of it at all. But he persuaded me. He says, come on, let's do something. And finally he called me one day and said, well, this is your starting date. I've announced it. I said, but you can't do that. He says, I've announced it. You have to start. And that's how I came to PRN. But I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to do the work that I feel really is my calling, which is to incite thought and dialogue, meaningful dialogue, between and among people. Especially because the work that has to be done in this society, the kind of work that has to be done, necessitates frank and free exchanges between and among people, because there's so much there's so much damage that has been done all over. A lot of damage. So I'm here at PRN.FM, and I'm happy to be here. I'm very, very happy about the audience. The audience is fantastic, and it's invigorating, really, to come to the program between 1 and 2 every day, Monday through Friday. I want to ask you to support PRN and to support it by making a contribution. When PRN gets this contribution, it says thank you, the best way I think we can, which is to offer you something from Gary's wide array of products. When these products, I want to say this, Gary has been running PRN on his own steam. The money he makes from many of his endeavors goes back into keeping PRN alive, keeping it glowing. And that is admirable because it affords a lot of folks and a lot of constituencies the ability to connect with each other. So I'm asking that you support PRN with a $60 donation. What happens when you do that? You will get something called green stuff, and Gary will explain that. Is he here with us? Not yet. Well, green stuff, 300 capsules of green stuff. It's supposed to be a booster to your entire system, and a video, an accompanying video, will come free with that. It's called Shopping and Cooking for Good Health. So I want to encourage you to call in while I'm here, and I know that you will. You can call 877-627-5065 and let them know you're calling in from Utrecis program and you are supporting PRN.FM, and I want to know that my peeps are with me and we're all in this together. 877-627-5065 is the number to call, and let them know that you're calling from Utrecis program for this particular premium that we're saying thank you for. This goes directly to PRN and keeping PRN on the air, and that is, it is not a distress signal. It is what I think we ought to do to shore up the services that PRN offers. So if you're with me, let me know. Give PRN a call, 877-627-5065. Let them know that you are calling in from Utrecis program and you are supporting PRN.FM. I'm not going to go through a very, very long period, but I'll be doing much of this week, asking for your support because I want our program, PRN's lead stories, I want lead stories to lead, but competitive here, I must admit, but I feel that this audience would understand the necessity and the importance of supporting this particular program, and I want to be proud to say that we have done our part to keep PRN going strong. So are you with me? Let me know. 877-627-5065. We'll be signing off very shortly. But I want to know by the end of this program when I call in that we have an appreciable participation from the lead stories audience. Don't be impatient if you don't get through right away, but please do persist in calling. The number is 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Don't forget, say Utrecis program. They know exactly what the gift you will get will be, but they will know that only when you say, because I selected it. I selected these two items, and I think they will work quite well for you. Great programs coming up for the rest of the week, but I want you to register your support for PRN and your support for Lead Stories. I want everybody who likes this program and who appreciates this program and who appreciates what it does to call in. It's just $60. And you will be able to take advantage of the premium that I'm offering you, Green Stuff, 300 capsules to boost your entire body system, and a video on shopping and cooking for good health, produced by Gary Nall. It's a good offer. He's pumping money into PRN, and he can pump some good stuff into you. So 877-627-5065. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye for today. Coming up next is Richard Martin with Wake Up Call. Don't forget, I'll be checking to see how the Lead Stories audience is responding. Don't let me down. I'll come to your house. I'm just kidding. I don't know your house. So we'll see each other tomorrow. Thank you so much. 877-627-5065. Remember, it's important to say your trees. Bye-bye.